our privilege to hear our dear brother Bruce Ware share his salvation testimony and his call to the ministry. Bruce, come encourage us.
I had the privilege of being raised, born and raised in a very wonderful Christian home. It's by God's providence, His merciful providence. I know this is not true for many people who later come to faith, but it wasn't my case. My dad was a really committed Christian man who loved the Lord, loved the church. He was very committed. He was a deacon at the church and very committed to the church and its life and growth, and loved missions. My dad was a businessman. Made a fair bit of money, but he gave almost all of it away. He just had such a heart for needy people and for the elderly and for missions that it was interesting. When he passed away 15 years ago now, my sister and I, just the two of us in the family, realized the very small inheritance that we were receiving, and neither one of us was upset about that, because we knew how he had used his money. And I remember one time, for example, growing up, that he got a sizable dividend check in the mail, some stock fund that he had. I mean, it was, you know, multiple tens of thousands of dollars. I forget exactly how much, but it was a lot of money. And he called the family around the kitchen table, brought the missionary map down off the wall, put it down in the middle of the table, and he said, "Let's pray and ask the Lord where he wants us to give this money." So it just, you know, that's my dad. He we had a boat, and the main reason he wanted that boat was for ministry. So, you know, every church picnic, he drove that boat all day long to pull water skiers, and took so many people out fishing. And, of course, in a captive audience like that, he shared the faith with so many of his business partners, and Loved to have people come and join him, and he guaranteed them. You know, we went to this lake. This is Spokane, Washington, by the way, in case I didn't say that. Pendre Lake in Idaho, just an hour's drive away. He could guarantee that folks would go home with a 20-pound Kamloop. You know, it's a freshwater salmon. And take those guys out and bring his Bible with him and do a Bible study if they were believers, or share the faith. So, you know, that was my dad. He was just a really wonderful Christian man. My mom, likewise, was very committed to the Lord. She also was missions-minded, would take care packages to send to missionaries. She, you know, that was back in the days where you sent aerograms internationally, you know, that really, really super thin blue paper that you trifold, and it was airmail ready to go. And she would have the missionaries, when they would write their letters to her, have their kids stand on the letter, trace their foot on it, so she would know the size of their feet. You know, start with the smallest and then go up with the kids. And, you know, so you get these ripple of drawings of feet on there. And so she would know the size of the shoes to get to send them shoes to different places. And so, I mean, just I'm so grateful. Now, I want to tell you one more thing about my dad. He grew up in a horrible home. He was not, like me, raised in a wonderful Christian home. His dad, this was in Fort Valley, Georgia, this is where he grew up, was an alcoholic and just really did destroy their home. My grandmother, his mother, died at a fairly early age in her 40s, largely because she was worn out. She worked so hard to try to hold the family together, three boys and a girl, that it just took everything out of her, and she died young. So my dad grew up in the home of this alcoholic who was abusive and didn't provide for his family. They went through the Depression and almost starved to death. They had just very, very little to eat. But a traveling evangelist came through, Hugh Hayes. Has anybody heard that name before? Just curious. You know, it was back many, many years ago, but a traveling evangelist in that part of the country, my dad went to this service, heard the gospel, and was saved. And this dear man, he went up and told Hugh Hayes afterwards that he had come to faith in Christ, and this dear man asked him about his family, and he told him about his alcoholic father, and he said, "You know, why don't you come and live with me for a while, and let me just show you a bit about how to pray and how to read the Bible and how to grow in your Christian life. And so he did that for 3 months, and it meant so much to him. He had a moment when it dawned on him that the day may come when he's married and has children, and it just struck him like a bolt from the blue. I have no idea what a Christian husband and father looks like. So he fell onto his knees on a red dirt road in Georgia and prayed. He said, "Lord, if you give me a wife and children, would you please help me to know how to be a Christian husband and a Christian father?" And I know God answered that prayer for him. So I love my dad. He's with the Lord now. And my mom, just so grateful. So that's the home I grew up in. And I'm so grateful for Christian parents who had integrity, who really did live the talk, because they did. My dad, I can just remember so many times him reading his Bible and my mom praying. And it was the real deal for these folks. So I never had any question really about the genuineness of the Christian faith, because I saw the real thing there. So just my encouragement to the dads out there, realize your kids are watching. You know, they know whether this is just a Sunday thing or if it's, you know, just your life, whether it's real and genuine and you really love Jesus and you really love his word and you want to follow him faithfully. And they'll see that, and it will make a difference. It did for me, I know that. So I was saved when I was 6 years old, and I believe it was a genuine conversion. My pastor that Sunday evening service had preached a message that talked about our sin and our need for a Savior, and I knew that I was a sinner. I mean, I obviously wasn't an axe murderer or anything like that at 6 years old, but I knew my heart. I knew my selfishness, how angry I would get with my older sister, and all kinds of things I was aware of, and I knew my sin, and I knew that I needed a Savior. And so my grandmother actually led me to the Lord after that evening service at her home. She had led, I don't know, dozens and dozens of people to the Lord over her lifetime up to that point, and then many, many more later. She was just a natural evangelist and loved to share the faith. So she talked with me and walked me through a sinner's prayer, and we knelt down in front of her sofa, and I trusted in Christ. I believed that what Christ did for me in his death on the cross paid the full penalty for my sin, and that I would be forgiven and receive eternal life. I knew it at 6 years old. I know many childhood conversions, or at least professions, are not genuine, but I honestly believe mine was. I never really doubted it from that point on, although I didn't grow a lot. Sadly, the church I grew up in Spokane, although a good church in many ways, it was a typical Baptist church with very thin teaching, and in some cases, wrong teaching. I mean, I didn't know that until later, but I look back and realize, oh my, just their understandings of God were just honestly weak. That's generous in saying it that way. So, you know, I wish it could have been different, but I just didn't grow a whole lot, and it wasn't really until I had some experiences later that I began to grow in the faith. One was, and you won't be surprised at this, since I have told you about my dad and his love for missions, an opportunity came for them, my folks, to send me to be a summer missionary in Madagascar when I was 15 years old. The missionary had been a youth pastor at our church, and now they were over in Madagascar, and he had an idea for an evangelistic outreach that involved a trumpet, and I played trumpet. And so he wrote my folks and said, would you send Bruce over for the summer? And I want to use him to reach the island of Madagascar. So my folks planned this trip for me. I didn't have anything to do with it, in which I stopped in about 12 countries, most of them visiting other missionaries, because they wanted me to see missions work up front. including one week in Vietnam. This was in 1969 during the war. But my dad's best fishing buddy, John Newman, was a CNMA missionary, Christian Missionary Alliance missionary, in Da Lat, Vietnam, where much of the worst fighting took place. So I spent a week there with him. And I tell you what, I could talk for hours about the experiences that week. So, but in any case, just so you know, the evangelistic idea in Madagascar was this. We would drive to a village, bumpy roads, you know, washboard, just really horrible roads getting there. But we would get to a village. He'd set up his literature table because he wanted to have Bible correspondence courses with the people there as they were willing to do so. And after everything was set up, the Malagasy missionary was ready to preach a short evangelistic sermon. When everything was ready, I would get up on top of the Volkswagen with my trumpet and begin playing my trumpet. Just play anything I felt like playing. I can play by ear, so I just played anything I felt like playing. And within minutes, the kids of the village, you know, 100-plus kids would come streaming through the bushes to come out and surround the Volkswagen because they had never heard a live trumpet. And then in time, the adults came, and pretty soon you had the entire village there in about 15 minutes. So the Malagasy pastor preached to all of them. The missionary invited them to take the literature and begin this correspondence course, and then we would go on to another village, and we would do two or three a day and then wait a few days and do a couple more, you know, later on. Ended up going pretty much through the whole island of Madagascar doing this. And they ended up with several hundred people who did the correspondence course through the Gospel of John. So anyway, just that experience, though, for me was just, again, another opportunity to see genuine Christian faith and love for the Lord and service up front. And I'm so grateful for that. My dad had this vision of, I can't do everything for my son, for my daughter. I need to use others to supplement in ways that I can't. So that's why they insisted we go to Arrowhead Springs, to Campus Crusade, or to summer camp with our church, and different kinds of things like that. So I'm very grateful. Now, my call to ministry, I'll end with this. My call to ministry happened when I was in college. I was a liberal arts major at Whitworth College in Spokane, Washington, where I grew up, a Presbyterian school that was at that time fairly conservative for a PC USA school. But in any case, partway through my time in college, I took 1 year out to go to a Bible college in England by the name of Cape and Ray Bible School in Carnforth, kind of at the beginning of the Lake District in England. And during that year, I expected it to be a rigorous Bible school, and it was not. It was more like an extended Bible conference time for 6 months. And so in my eagerness to learn the Bible, I read the Bible about 5 hours a day for most days that I was there. We had one day that was a work day, so I didn't on that day, but 4 days of the week plus the weekends, I just spent a lot of time just reading my Bible and just loved it and was saturated with it and grew so much. I can't even tell you, you know, the ways in which I grew during that year. And it was so clear to me over time, the Lord just worked in my heart, I have to share this. I have to. I mean, I can't imagine not being able to share these glorious truths with other people. And so that sense of the privilege of being involved in ministry where you can share the truth of God's word just was, you know, formed in my heart and grew through that year. So I came back, finished college as quick as I could, and went to Western Seminary where I met Tom Schreiner. And Tom and I were students, became friends there at Western Seminary in Portland, and the Lord has taken us on a similar route together, which has just been a joy. I just am so grateful for Tom, such a dear friend and colleague all these years. Diane, are you here? I love you. Oh, she's not here. This is the men's thing. That's right. Yeah, well, I love her too. Yeah, so I'm just grateful. The Lord, I mean, I have lived a blessed life with the parents that the Lord, the home the Lord put me in, experiences that he has given, and the privilege, oh my goodness, the unspeakably glorious privilege of having the opportunity to share, like this weekend, you know, things that I care so much about, that I love with all of my heart, and love to share with others. So praise be to God for his immeasurable grace to all of us. Thank you.